All right, welcome back. The shiur tonight should be Le'ilui Nishmas Chayasara Bas Rav Avram Svi, my wife's grandmother who was nifter this past week. A truly wonderful, wonderful person. Her neshama should have an aliyah from our learning. All right, Parshas Netzavim, Tavshin Ayin Tes. Incredibly, the last parsha of Tavshin Ayin Tes. We now look forward to Tavshin Pei. You know, the year went incredibly fast. It's unbelievable. But Netzavim is a parsha that's incredibly tough to summarize, as there really isn't much to summarize. It's only 40 psukim. The parsha itself is basically a summary. It's a compilation of a few divrei chizuk by Moshe on the last few days before his death. And Moshe gathers all of Klal Yisrael together for his last few words. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Kulchem, the yisod of achdus and cohesion within Klal Yisrael. Everyone from the big tzaddikim, the officers, the big machers, down to the chotei veitzecha ad shoev meimecha, the woodcutters and the water drawers and the women and the children, right? The extreme importance of achdus in order to arouse a collective good for the tzibur. And this gathering was not just for the children of the Dor HaMidbar, those who were physically alive at that time, but like at Sinai, all our neshamos were present too for this new bris between Klal Yisrael and Hashem before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Es asher einenu po imanu hayom. And the Mefarshim point out, this is the pnimius, this is the reason, as the Shulchan Aruch points out, and Netzavim always falls out the last Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes it's Netzavim Vayelech, but it's always Netzavim as part of the last Shabbos of the year. Why is that? Because really, Netzavim is a microcosm of how to approach Rosh Hashanah, right? We're all individuals with individual needs, right? Rosheichem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Vishodreichem, Tapchem, Nesheichem, all of which are important individual needs. But, and of course we daven for those needs on Rosh Hashanah, but to never forget the aspect of Kulchem, that we're part of a very holy Tzibur, and the Tzibur desperately needs our Tfilos too, right? Our Parsha teaches that, especially on Rosh Hashanah, we have an Achrayas for more than just ourselves. Atem nitzavim hayom Kulchem. And of course, the other aspect of Rosh Hashanah is, write the next words. The other aspect of Rosh Hashanah is Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. To remember, the day is primarily about focusing on Malchus Hashem. Side point, but an interesting remez that's pointed out, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, the Blujever points out that hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, where everyone is judged, Rosheichem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Vishotreichem, everybody. And when is this period of judgment? It's Mechotev Eitzecha. Eitzecha, as the Zohar writes, the shofar was Hashem's Eitza, his advice to achieve bracha. Mechotev Eitzecha. So the judgment is from when you blow the shofar, Ad Shoev Memecha, until the conclusion of the Nisuch Hamayim on Sukkot and the Tefilas Hageshem on Shmini Atzeres. So it's an interesting remez in our parsha to the upcoming Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. But Netzavim is also the conclusion of the Tochacha from last week in many ways. It's not all in Kisavo. There's some pretty scary stuff in our parshas as well, which we're going to discuss. But Netzavim primarily represents Moshe's post-Tochacha chizuk that eventually will do tshuva and Mashiach will come and gather us all to Eretz Yisrael and all will be wonderful. And that's a major theme that we're going to discuss tonight, the dichotomy between Tochacha and Necham and chizuk that's present in this parsha. Another point of chizuk that Moshe says is the famous few sentences about the Torah's accessibility. Lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'ever hayom hi. It's not across the ocean, it's not in Shemayim. And the Yesod of Kedusha being doable for the average person. Ki karav elecha devar mo b'ficha uvilvavcha la'asosa. Torah is right next to all of us all the time. All we just have to do is grasp it. Lest any Jew ever think that Judaism is too hard for him, that it's not achievable. It's not true. So some very famous chizuk here, which we'll discuss also in more depth. And finally, as we mentioned back, if you remember the parsha, the chabur and parshas re'eh, the Torah gives us here in Netzavim another re'eh. But here it's another chance to amplify our bechira chavshis. But here in Netzavim we up the ante. It's not a bracha of bracha versus klala like we had in re'eh. Here it's re'eh nasati lefanecha hayom es achayim ves atov yes amaves ves ara. It's not a choice between bracha and klala. It's a choice between life and death. And we explained back in parshas re'eh, the meshech chachma, the reason the stakes are higher in our parsha is because Rosh Hashanah is on us and the Yom HaDin is upon us. We've had El to hopefully engage in tshuva oriented activities. So here Moshe reminds us that our choices in life mean a lot more than, you know, benign brachos and klalos that we think about in the quiet summer months of Elul. Now, you know, they're genuine life and death decisions. So to make sure we're making the right decisions. So this pasuk, like so many others in this parsha, are intentionally designed to wake us up, to get our attention. A lot of attention-drawing stuff in Netzavim, which hopefully it will do. Hopefully it works. So without further ado, let's get into it and discuss a few inyanim in the parsha. All right, page Aleph. Starting off tonight, Rashi quotes the Medrash, which says, "Lama nismecha parsha satem nitzavim leklolos." Why does nitzavim come right after kisavo? Right. So says the Medrash, because when Moshe gave the tochacha in last week's parsha, horiku pneim v'amru miyucha lamod ba'elu. Right. The face of Klal Yisrael turned green with terror, and they said, "We're doomed. We can't possibly do all this stuff. We're going to be punished in these terrible ways." Hischil Moshe lefaisam atem nitzavim hayom. Our parsha nitzavim was Moshe's reassurance, the nechama to their anxiety, specifically that harbei hichastim lamakom v'lo asa eschem kilya v'hari atem kayam milfanav. You've angered Hashem many times in the past. The Egel, basically all of Sefer Bamidbar, but atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You're still standing here nonetheless. So our parsha was the designed chizuk that Moshe offered them. So working under that assumption that nitzavim is a response to the tochacha, that nitzavim is meant to ease the anxiety of Klal Yisrael, that don't worry, everything will be great, just keep doing your best. If that's true, as Rashi says it is, we have a problem, because there are many, many psukim in our parsha that don't sound very soothing, very calming, right? Pen yesh bachem isho isho, when you find someone among you, asher levavo fone hayom meim Hashem lokenu, someone who turns away from Hashem, lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo, Hashem won't forgive you, umacha Hashem eshimo mitachas Hashemayim, Hashem will obliterate your name, gofris vamelach sreifa kol artsa, sulfur and salt burning the entire land, vayitshem Hashem me'alad mosam ba'afu v'chemo v'ketzev gadol, Hashem uproots them with fury and anger. And what parsha are we reading again? It sounds like Parshas Kisavo. It sounds like Moshe just keeps firing away with the tochacha, just more and more horrifying stuff. So how is nitzavim meant to ease the anxiety? Like Rashi says, nitzavim is meant to ease their anxiety. This is probably, gofris v'melach ba'afu v'chemo v'ketzav gadol. This is probably the worst motivational speech of all time. So that's the question. So Rav Nebensal and some others also explain beautifully in his sichos, but other mefarshim bring down the same thing. That number one, you can't leave out how Moshe continues the speech, right? He goes weiter in Perek Lamed, v'hayaki avo alecha kol avrima eile, all these experiences from the tochacha and the beginning of our parsha, v'ashivo salavecha, it will arouse you to tshuva, as we spoke about last week from the Rav. V'shavto ad Hashem elokecha, we'll do as a tzibur, we will ultimately do tshuva and return to Hashem and all will be good. So really, the beginning of Nitzavim is Moshe wrapping up the tochacha, parts of the tochacha from Kisavo, but it pivots into chizuk, right? Because of these experiences, don't worry, you'll do tshuva and all will be well. So Nitzavim really is a parsha of chizuk. How so? Because he says, because by continuing with all the gory details of Kisavo into Nitzavim, Moshe is telling them, ba'afu v'chemo v'ketzav gadol, as bad as it gets, don't worry, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is tshuva. So don't lose hope, don't lose sight of the destination getting closer every day, and never forget that we have that in very, very powerful tool in our tool set, the power of tshuva, which you all have access to literally all the time. That's A. But B, he says, the second wave of the tochacha, as we described it, the second wave of tochacha in our parsha, is davka for a specific type of Jew, who is asher levavo fone hayom meim Hashem lokenu. He turns his heart away from Hashem. Here's the key words. Shoresh pore rosh velano. There's a root of decay, something foul within this person. So says Rav Nebensal, the pasuk's describing a Jew, and I'm paraphrasing, but a Jew who puts on tefillin every day, and he makes 100 brachos every day, and he has 10 chavruses every day, and he shakes lulav, and he blows shofar with all the, the minutiae and all the halachic details, but deep down he doesn't really believe Hashem is a part of his life, right? Maybe Hashem created the world, maybe he didn't, but I don't think my mitzvos really matter very much. I don't believe my daily observance is really being tallied and scrutinized and so forth. So this Jew is asher levavo foneh hayom, right? Asher levavo foneh. He's doing everything right, but his belief is absent. He's got major machshava problems. He gives an example of Eliyav, the older brother of David HaMelech. Very famous, famously, why wasn't he chosen to be the king? Of all of Yishai's children, it should have been him. It's because he got angry. He got angry at David. He had gaiva. He had arrogance towards his little brother. And the Mefarshim asked, the psukim, which talk about this, they don't talk about Eliyav getting angry at David on the battlefield until after Shmuel had chosen David already as king. So the question is, why do we hold Eliyav's averos against him when they didn't even manifest themselves yet? Right? He hadn't done anything. So based on this Rav Nebensal, because even earlier than this, the anger, the arrogance, the bad midos were in his heart, right? So true, it hadn't come about, but it was there. Eliyav had this shoresh pore rosh v'lana, the root of decay, that foulness that beneath the surface, and therefore Hashem held these inner bad midos against him, and David was chosen instead to be the Melech Yisrael. So he says, so too with us. Hashem cares about what's in our hearts, right? You'd think, I'm a good Jew, I do everything right, by the book, who cares what my deepest kavanos are? No, shoresh pore rosh v'lana, Hashem cares. So bring it full circle. How are these psukim nitzavim, the epilogue, the tocha, serving as nechama, serving to get rid of the green expressions of horror of Klal Yisrael, is because Moshe is basically doing a kal v'chomer. That if midos ra'os are enough for Hashem to take action against us, and shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana, the small root of unexpressed bad midos, not even actions, but midos, are enough to make all the awful consequences of the tochacha come about, kal v'chomer, imagine how powerful a shift towards good, the good end of the spectrum must be, right? On these Yemei Hadin, if we're able to improve one small thing, just even one iota, the forces that are aroused in the upper realms, we can't even imagine how big a deal that is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would be the opposite of the tochacha times 1,000. That's how Rav Nevensol and many others answer this question. So Mirz Hashem, we take this to heart, especially over the Yemei Hadin, the upcoming Yom Neroyim, to try and fix things, to try and prove ourselves just a little bit, even a little bit. Imagine what magnificent bracha that will create for us, and Mirz Hashem, so it should be for us and our families. That's A. And by the way, for those who want to read the entire piece, it's more than this, but I only could fit 6 pages onto one sheet of paper, but it goes on weiter than this. I put it on page Bays, not the entire of Nevensol, but a good chunk of it. For those who want to read it inside. All right, next. A very interesting pasuk in our parsha, as we just explained. Nitzavim is basically Moshe Rabbeinu wrapping up the last vestiges of the tocha, but he says something very strange. V'haya b'shamas divrei ha'olah azos, there will be a hypothetical Jew who hears all these horrible curses of the tochacha in Kisavo, and also in the beginning of our parsha Nitzavim, and then in the early, and then, but they still want to go worship Avodah Zarah, and they still want to stray off the path of Hashem. Why? V'zbarech bilvavo lemor shalom yali. He reassures himself, he rationalizes, he gives himself a bracha, v'zbarech. Yeah, I know Hashem doesn't want me to do this, but I'll be fine. Ki b'shurus li b'elech, when I follow my heart's desires, nothing is going to happen to me. L'man sefos haravas hatzmeya. For this person, I'm going using Rashi's interpretation, Hashem lumps his unintentional averos. Those that he did when he was ki'ilu drunk, harava, which Rashi says is like a shikr, a drunkenness, is lumped together with his intentional averos, those he committed when he was tzmeya, when he was thirsty, when he was acting to satisfy his thirst, his desire. So in other words, Moshe is saying, because of this hypothetical Jew's brazenness to flat out ignore the tochacha, Hashem does not make any distinctions for this person. Normally, he might overlook the shkagos, but here, the shkagos, the shkagos when he was drunk are the same as when he was tzame, when he was thirsty. Not for this person. No distinction. That's the pashup shot of this pasuk, the way Rashi understands it. And the question is asked by all the mefarshim. This hypothetical Jew, this hypothetical person, he admits that he's going against the Torah. He admits that he's doing what the tocha warns him not to do. And moreover, he admits that these punishments are real. So how could he be so cavalier about it, right? V'sbarech bilvavo lemor shalom yali. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Why would he think that? Well, he thinks Hashem is bluffing. This is a bluff. This is made up stuff. Why would he think such a thing? So the Pashut answers from Rashi. Rashi says, Yachsho belibo birka shalom la'atzmo lemor lo yavoni klolos halalu ach shalom yali. Yeah, I know I heard the klolos too, but that's for the other guy. Doesn't apply to me because Hashem loves me even if I do this. So no worries, I'll be fine. The arrogance of that, the gall to think of himself higher than everyone else, higher than the Torah even, and different than every other Jew who is held to that standard. So Hashem, Mida Keneged Mida, responds by treating him differently. You want to be different? I'll treat you differently. That for everyone else, there's Shogeg and Mazid, but for this person, it's all Mazid. So as the Pasuk says later, V'hivdi lo Hashem l'ra'ah, Hashem is mavdil him, he separates him out, he's different, he's special, but not in the special way that he was hoping to be different. That's Rashi. The Gra in Aderes Elio says very similar to Rashi, but he says that this Jew is mentally separating himself from the Tzibur. That the Klolos, those are for the Tzibur. But me, I'm not really part of the Tzibur. I'm more special than the Tzibur. I do my own thing, says the Gra. That attitude is treated very harshly by Hashem, and so too with us, so too with us. How often do we, know something is wrong deep down, but we do it anyway because we're hoping that Hashem just won't punish us for it. He'll let it slide, or maybe he won't let it slide, but we'll do tshuva later. Elul's coming, we'll do tshuva and Elul. Whatever it may be, we somehow justify the Avera. We hope that we'll avoid the klolos associated with it, but really subconsciously what we're saying is right here, Shalom Yeli. I'm not happy with this Avera, but okay, it'll be okay, so let's just do what I want to do. That's a very dangerous attitude, an attitude of separation and opting out of the Tzibor, and it's an attitude that a Jew has no right to have, according to the Gra, according to everyone. But as Moshe describes here very, very graphically, it's an attitude we'd be wise to try to eradicate from our persona as quickly as possible. A few other ideas. Sfarno says that, yes, he won't do the mitzvot, Shalom Yali, I'm sorry, but Shalom Yali, he'll benefit via like osmosis from the Kehillah's mitzvos overflowing onto him. All the zchuyos from the Kehillah's doing a lot of, I'm not learning, but the fact that there's a lot of kol Torah in my neighborhood, it'll flow onto me immediately. It'll overflow onto me as well. He'll ride on their coattails. He'll free ride on the tzibor. That's another idea the Sfarno brings down. The Ksav Sofer, who's the son of Chsam Sofer, who's the grandson of Akiva Eger on his mother's side, he says two suggestions to answer this question. What was this person thinking? What was he thinking? He's ignoring the psukim. Number one, he says that really he's a good havamina, but he says since keeping Torah and mitzvos is hard, therefore this Jew thinks that somehow exempts him from trying. Right? Another way of saying it is Hashem wouldn't possibly put me in a situation of such difficulty. Derachei adarchei noham. The Torah is supposed to be enjoyable. I'm supposed to be able to enjoy myself as a Torah Jew, and avoiding these isurim are extremely difficult. Avoiding these isurim are very unenjoyable. So, therefore, 1 plus 1 equals 4. It must be that I don't have to keep these mitzvos. It must be the Torah doesn't really demand this of me. Shalom Yali, let's go ahead and eat that cheeseburger, right? So that's the flawed logic. Derachel, darchei noam, of course, being Jewish is supposed to be enjoyable, but that enjoyment comes from training ourselves and working on ourselves. Then comes the enjoyment. It doesn't mean you can just do whatever you enjoy. Another possibility from the Ksav Sofer, a very famous one we've spoken about in this Chabur many times, Vizbarech Bilvavo, means I don't really need to keep the mitzvahs in the Torah because I have a good heart. Vizbarech Bilvavo, I'm a good person, I'm friendly, I tip my mailman, I drive people to the airport, I help old ladies across the street, and that's really all that matters. And while that's wonderful, and being a good person, we should all be helping old ladies across the street, that's not what I'm saying, but we should be striving to be good, generous, friendly people. It doesn't mean that Kashrus and Shabbos are not what Hashem expects of us, right? This is very often the rationale of the conservative Jews and reform Jews, that Judaism means being a good person. Bisbarech bilvavo. Yes, I know all the details of what the Bible says, but bishirusli bi'elech, I'll do whatever I want religiously and I'll be fine. Shalom yali, because I observe the spirit of these outdated laws. So Be'ezer Hashem, we need to embody the many messages of this pasuk. Number one, to never have the arrogance to think that Torah doesn't apply to me because I'm especially beloved by Hashem to the extent that I'm exempt from Molach Rayis, that's Rashi. To never separate ourselves from the tzibor, that's the gra. To understand that Derachel Darchei Noam is a privilege that comes from working hard, not an outgrowth of being spiritually lazy. That's the Ksav Sofer. And the other Ksav Sofer, that being a Torah Jew, being a tzaddik, being virtuous in the eyes of Hashem, requires more than just being a good person. You know, it's a good thing and a noble thing. And it's certainly, you know, being a good person is something that unfortunately many frum and non-frum people don't always live up to, but it's only part of the equation. It's only halfway, it's only part of the equation. So Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to a lot of siyata d'shmaya here. We certainly could use it to ward off these increasingly common frame of minds in our generation, but Be'ez Hashem, we can and we will do so, and therefore we'll live a life of genuine Shalom Yali, genuine peace and nachas, a life that's immersed in brachos, in the brachos of these parshios, and not the klolos. All right, next, the very famous pasuk in our parsha, the last pasuk of Perek Chavtes, Hanisteros LaShem Elokeinu, that which is hidden is for Hashem, VaNiglos Lanu LVaneinu Adolam, versus what is revealed, the Nigla, is for us and our children forever. LaSos is called Divrei HaTorah Zos, to be Mekayim, the entire Torah. So based on this understanding, these are basically the concluding words of the Tochacha, right? Before we move on to Perek Lamed, where Moshe changes course and begins discussing Tshuva, Vashivos Alvavecha. So as the unofficial end of the Tochacha, it behooves us to take a closer look at this pasuk, and several questions arise on this pasuk. Number one, the nisteros are for Hashem, but the niglos are not for Hashem. I thought everything was for Hashem. That's a very, you know, poshut question. That's A. So what does that mean? The nisteros are for Hashem, but the revealed, the hidden is for Hashem, but the revealed is for us. Number two, what exactly do nisteros and niglos mean, right? So if it's nigla, if it's mefurish, clear cut, then I have to keep it. But if it's nister, if it's not 100% obvious, then we can ignore it, chas v'shalom, right? Yeah, then we'd be throwing out basically all of Torah Shebaal Peh and Zohar and pretty much all Torah Shebaal, all Torah literature. If we're saying that, oh, it's nister, it's not exactly 100% crystal clear, that's Lashem. I just do what's nigla. So that can't be. So how do we explain the pasuk? So one explanation, the mainstream approach, again, is Rashi. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, which means that we share in each other's successes, but we also share in each other's failures. So therefore, it behooves us that every member of Klal Yisrael, we shouldn't just be making sure that we aren't sinning, we also have to make sure that our neighbor isn't doing things wrong, because that negative consequence in the Olamos Elyonim overflows onto us and our families as well. So you would think, you'd have a Havmina, that Hashem would punish us all because of the secret, hidden thoughts of one Jew. But what can we do? I don't know that he's sinning if it's in his head, if it's in the privacy of his own home, so how can I stop it? So therefore the Torah says, Hanisteros Lashem Elokeinu, the Nister, if you don't know about it, that which is secret, that we're not responsible for, that we're not held accountable for. But Vaniglos Lanu Vanion Olam, when you see that someone is, you know, Befarhesia, doing something that's clearly wrong, we have a response. That is Lanu Vanion Olam. That's our responsibility. We have an Achrayas to the Tzibur to put an end to it. That's the Pashup Pshat, that's Rashi. I saw an alternative Pshat here. A genuinely beautiful idea from the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, who says that this pasuk is really one of the most fundamental pieces of advice in the entire Torah. It's probably the most important pasuk in the entire Torah as a parent. And he says as follows. Listen to this. We'd all do well to remember this. When we serve Hashem, our personal arvoda, our mitzvos, our maisim tovim, the act itself is the tuffel. It's really secondary. The ikar is our karvanos, our heart, our lev. We all know the famous saying, rachamono libaboy, Hashem wants us, Hashem wants the heart. Hashem doesn't want the act of shaking lulav as much as he wants the connection we make to him vis-a-vis netilas lulav, right? Hashem doesn't want blowing shofar as much as he wants those lofty, you know, kedusha-filled kavanos that we're all supposed to have vis-a-vis Tkiya Shofar, right? So says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, that's the ratio of this pasuk. Ha-nisteros la-shem Elokeinu. The nisteros, the hidden elements of being frum, the kavana that we should all be having during this time, the simcha, the kavanos of davening, the simcha we have from Shabbos and Yontiv, the closeness we feel from doing mitzvos and chesed, that relationship, those machshavos, which is hidden, that's la-shem Elokeinu. That's really what Hashem wants, the kavanos. That portion is for Hashem. That's the ikar of what Hashem wants from each of us. Rachamana libaboy, because without that, without proper kavanos, Judaism is hollow and empty. Without that, we're just mouthing words and just going through religious-looking motions. So nister is a critical component. But, we all know you can't just think davening. You can't just meditate on the pnimius of tikkiyah shofar. You can't just, emotionally connect to doing chesed. These things require physical acts. Those are the niglos, the revealed parts of Judaism, the actual mitzvos themselves, actual words of davening, actual chesed. They require getting up, dusting off the cobwebs, and doing stuff, verbalizing stuff, living stuff. Because why? Why do we do this? Vaniglos. Why do we do the niglos? Lanu uluvanenu ad olam. Because how are we ever supposed to teach our children without doing it ourselves, without openly and proudly doing it with ourselves? The short answer is we can't. We can't. So says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, this is really the only parenting advice you need. A parenting book can be a pamphlet, can be very short. If you don't go to Minyan three times daily, how can you expect your kids to, right? If you don't value Talmud Torah, how do you expect your kids to? How are they supposed to know what's important? They're not mind readers. And if subconsciously you're saying, oh, I'll just rely on yeshiva, I'll just rely on the Rebbeim for that, I think we can all agree it just doesn't work that way. It'd be foolish to think that. And on the flip side as well, if you talk in shul, if you engage in Lashon Hara, if you constantly talk about stupid things, how can you expect your kids not just follow suit? Vaniglos lanu ulvanenu ad olam. We do all this stuff physically, not just in our minds, but physically, because nigle, it's the only way to successfully raise our children, right? And also for ourselves. It's not vaniglos livanenu, it's lanu ulvanenu. Also for ourselves. Maybe we connect to davening in our machshavos, but if we can't roll out of bed for slichos, we're just training ourselves to be that way, to be lazy, to implicitly justify a wrong, and we're providing terrible chinuch not just to our kids, but to us ourselves. So Mirtz Hashem, we should live this Torah, we should take it to heart, have it penetrate both our nister and our nigla, and in that schus, Hashem should be mevarach each of us with healthy children, lots of children. Mirtz Hashem for all of us, bonum vonos, tzadikim tzidkanios, oskim b'torah mitzos, kol yameyem, who have parents, above anything, who have parents who they can look up to. One of the more quoted aspects of our parsha, words that are basically in the vernacular of every Torah Jew, they even find their way into a couple of nigunim. The famous words of Chizik, to how living a Torah life, a life of mitzvos and kedusha, is reachable for every Jew, is doable for every person, right? Ki ha-mitzvah azos asher anochi mitzavcha yom lo nifles himim chavlo rechokahi. Mitzvos aren't secretive, hidden things that are far away. Lo b'shamayim hilei mor mi'al elanu ha-shamayim avikachel elanu v'yashmeinu osav v'nasen. It's not in Shemayim that you'd have a havmin, you have to go all the way there to do it. Hashem doesn't make it inaccessible. V'lo me'ever layom hilei mor mi'av elanu el ever hayom yikachel elanu v'yashmeinu osav v'nasen. Not across the ocean that I'd have a havamina that someone needs to fetch it for me from across the ocean. No need for any of this. The ability to live a life of kedusha is very near to each and every one of us. White glove door-to-door service, very much a doable thing if we grasp the opportunity. So on the last words here, b'ficha uvilvavcha laso, so the mefarshim go to town. A lot of people ask the same question, that the order should be reversed, right? First you do things bilvavcha, first you resolve to do something in your heart, you think about it, you ask, what does Hashem want from me? And then b'ficha, it manifests in your mouth, in your actions. But the pasuk seems to imply that first it's on your mouth, it's in a person's actions where you decide, I'm going to become a better Jew, and then the heart. But why is that? Don't we usually frown on being impulsive? We teach our kids, don't be impulsive. Speak before don't speak before you think. We usually mechanech the opposite. Think before you speak. So what's going on over here? You hear it's the opposite. So many answers here. Most of the answers are basically an approach that we've talked about many times in this chabura. You fake it till you make it. Achareya pu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. That the heart follows our actions. If we force ourselves to make minyan, if we force ourselves to have a chavrusa and make Talmud Torah a priority, if we staple our mouths shut during davening, then eventually the heart follows and it becomes a part of who we are as opposed to just something we do. That's a topic we've discussed many times. It's the most common answer here, and it's a very good answer. It's a beautiful and valuable approach that we'd all do well to learn from. But I want to suggest a different approach tonight, in addition to this. Rashi says, Ki karve lecha, ha-Torah nitno lachem b'ksav u'bal peh. Hashem gives us two things. So b'ficha represents Torah shebal peh. B'ficha, Torah shebal peh. Versus bilvavcha represents Torah shebiksav. And the obvious question is, I understand b'ficha, Torah shebal peh, but how do you get from bilvavcha in our hearts, in our machshavos, to Torah shebiksav, to the written Torah, other than process of elimination, which is not an option here. You can't use process of elimination. It's a square peg in a round hole. So the Shem Yishmuel asked this question. He says an amazing thing. It says Rashi is not referring to the actual written Torah on klaf that we lean on, right? But rather, elaksuva al halev. It's written on our hearts, right? Based on use of the pasuk in Yirmiyah, nasati es torasi bikirbchem va'aluach libam echtevena. Right? So the connection to bilvavcha, all right, so it makes sense. I understand the connection. Bilvavcha, written on our hearts, I get it now. But what does this mean? The term ksuva al halev, it's written on your hearts. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. So says Hashem Yishmuel, it's describing a level that most people don't reach in their lives. It's a level in that someone's personality is saturated with Torah. He says, Ad shenase hu vehem, the underlined portion, davar echad, v'halei ba'atzmo yiyah Torah, that when one comes to a fork in the road of life, he doesn't even need to think, what would Hashem want me to do here? He doesn't need to dray over the decision, should I do this, should I do that, what's the psak? His very nature, his instincts are so interwoven with Torah. It's ksuva al halev, ki'ilu, it's written on his heart. He's just naturally drawn towards the light and away from the dark. And the Shem Yishmuel is maskim, uvvadai hi madrega gvoa ma'od. This is an extremely high level. It's something that the average person does not experience. The average person, all of us, we have doubts, we have questions, we require guidance. But it's a mile. It's something to strive for, to have this level of ksuva lalev. So practically, what can we do to work on ourselves to try and aim for this madrega over time? It's a very high level, but we should, shoot for the stars. How can we aim for this madrega? That Kedusha and Torah are more than just what we do, but it's who we are, that they develop into our instincts. Hu vehem davar echad valei ba'atzmo yiyah Torah. What road leads to that destination? So says the Shem Yishmuel, let's go back to our pasuk. You want the mile of bilvavcha, right? You want the lofty yisod of having a ksuva alalev, a Torah personality. There's only one way to get there, right? And that's what comes right before. Right before bilvavcha comes what? Beficha. Beficha. Right? First you need beficha. And what is beficha? Rashi says it's Torah shebal peh, right? So when you sit down to learn Gemara, if a person is amal in Torah, he's really schwitzing at it. He's giving it 100% as opposed to just being along for the ride, as opposed to just piggybacking on what everyone else is doing around him, as opposed to treating Talmud Torah like it's a movie that you're basically observing as for your entertainment. That's the panemius of beficha, genuinely being amal in Torah shebal peh, in Gemara. And from a genuine effort in this area of life, the pasuk promises us beficha uvilvavcha la'asoso. The accomplishment of beficha, of being amal in Torah shebal peh, leads to an attainment of bilvavcha, developing a true Torah personality. That's what the Shem Yishmuel says. And to that, when a person inevitably says, oh, amelus, that's not for me. That's too hard for me. Amelus is for the Talmidei Chachamim. I don't have the cup for Gemara. I don't have the attention span. I don't have the reading skills. So I'm just going to be a passive participant instead. The Torah reminds us that's what these psukim are reminding us. Then the Torah goes to town. V'lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechoka hi, lo bashamayim hi, lo me'ever layom hi, ki karov elecha devar ma'od. Hard work is something that everyone is capable of, regardless of your educational background, right? Hard work requires no prerequisite set of skills whatsoever. Hard work, everyone is capable of. And we do well to remember that. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be for us and our families the next time we open a Gemara to remember that it's all about a melus. Hashem wants the effort more than anything. And Dafka, that's the key to unlocking so many good things in our lives. And from those efforts, we should be zocha, the bracha of atzlacha, the brachos of beficha, bilvavcha, lasoso, in all of our pursuits, both in Torah Shebaal Peh, in Torah Shebiksav, in Ruchnius, and in Gashmius. So we'll see if we finish. I have two more ideas. We have 12 minutes left. I'll probably just do this and maybe we'll stop. We'll see. Just to come full circle on the Parsha, if we go back to the beginning of Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, there's an interesting medrash on the Parsha. The reason Moshe Dafka asked for this gathering, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, was to formally and ceremonially transfer his leadership to Yoshua. And therefore, because of this precedent, when it was time for Yoshua to die many years later, he did the same thing. The Pasuk says in Yoshua, Vayesof Yoshua es kol shivtei Yisrael. He also ceremonially transferred his leadership to the Zakenim. He also made a Nitzavim. And so too, the Pesukim and Nach describe how the Zakenim did the same thing in transferring their leadership to Shmuel Hanavi. And then Shmuel did the same thing for Shaul. And the Pasuk says there, Ata Hisyatzvu. In all these places, there was a Nitzavim, a gathering, and so forth throughout Jewish history, this ceremonial passing of the torch. So on this medrash, on this procedure of Atem Nitzavim that repeats itself throughout history, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Mibul Blin says the following thing: Shekol Shofet Umanig Hador Yeshlo Derech V'Seder Miyuchad Balichaso Van Haghaso. Right? All Jewish leaders have their own unique inyan, their own unique focus. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanhagas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Valichaso Hoya Lamaila Meseder Olam Azeh B'Cholin Yonei. Moshe was about miracles, the supernatural. The man fell from Shemayim, the Amud Ha'anon, the Amud Ha'esh. Klal Yisrael never had to do laundry for 40 years, right? There are hundreds of more miracles that we experience in the Midbar. And this was the Yisod of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because this was done for them, because they were basically, you know, in a bed and breakfast and everything was taken care of, they were totally free to immerse in Torah over this time. But Yoshua, his inyan was Teva, right? Natural course of events. V'isko haya davka al yidei kedusha sa'aretz v'lasok ba'avoda sa'aretz. Under Yoshua, Klal Yisrael had to learned how to bring kedusha into their lives via a material existence. They were farmers, they were shepherds, builders, craftsmen, all sorts of professions. So Rav Tzadok says, this formal gathering of Nitzavim was not just a ceremonial graduation passing of the torch, but it served a purpose. Shelo yizbalbalu al yidei hischalfus hanhaga. They shouldn't be confused. Right? It shouldn't be that Moshe goes away and Yeshua takes charge, and all of a sudden we go from the supernatural to the natural, and Klal Yisrael says, what's this? This isn't how it's supposed to be. So this gathering allowed Moshe, while he was still alive, to escort them into this new stage, right? So there would be no surprises. And moreover, they had the skill set and the foundation to be able to continue the life of Kedusha, how to apply the lessons of the Midbar in their new existence in Eretz Yisrael. And this was very useful, because otherwise the transition would have been infinitely more difficult, and therefore when the time came, Yoshua did the same thing, and the Zakenim did the same thing, and Shmuel did the same thing, and so forth and so forth. So what's the lesson to us? Rav Tzadok now, at the end over here, it's underlined, connects this idea beautifully to this tkufa of the year. That just like no two Jewish leaders are the same, right? No two tzaddikim are the same, so too with periods of time, right? He refers to it as kedushas hazmanim. Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato. Shekol Shabbos, Shekol Hashana, Yes Hischadshus Kedusha Miuchedes Hashayach L'Shabbos Zeh. Every Shabbos has its own unique character. Every Shabbos is somewhat different. So to every month. Uvechein B'chol Chodesh Yesh Hanhaga Miuchedes B'Kedusha. We all know the books, there are books written about this, the unique aspects and simonim of every month. And of course, years. Years too. Tavshin Ayin Tes to Tavshin Peh. No 2 years are alike. This upcoming year will undoubtedly have new challenges in Nisyonos, but also new Kedusha opportunities, new brachos, new avenues for growth. So how do we bridge the gap between the old and the new? How do we make sure we're not woefully unprepared and we don't fall on our face? We use the example of our parsha, of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we gather. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. We have Rosh Hashanah, and through that gathering in shuls around the world, we take the lessons of our lives until this point, good and bad, mitzvos and averos. We use the outgoing tzaddikim, the outgoing Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, and we use and prepare ourselves for whatever for Yoshua, for Eretz Yisrael, for the upcoming challenges that Hashem has in store for us in the upcoming year. Another reason why Nitzavim falls dafka in the calendar this time of the year. So Mirtz Hashem, it should be for us and our families to use this Yontiv, Rosh Hashanah, all the upcoming hours of Tefillah and Cheshbon and Nefesh to gather, to do a Nitzavim, right? To gather all the lessons, all the leaders, all the tzaddikim, all the experiences that Hashem has placed in our lives until this point, and synthesize them all to make Tavshin Ayin Peh, Be'ez Hashem, the best year to date. So, all right, we have 10 minutes left. Good. Last idea for tonight. Let's move off. Well, it's connected to the Parsha, but let's talk about Rosh Hashanah a little bit. A few short ideas on Rosh Hashanah, the Yemei HaDin, Haba Aleinu Latova, in a few days. And one of the major themes of our Parsha, in itself, is Tshuva, right? We've already discussed plenty tonight. Vashevosa Lavavecha, Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, Vishav Hashem Elokecha, Shavuscha Richamecha, Vishav Vikibetzcha Mikolam. And there are numerous other references or hidden references to Tshuva in our Parsha. But the Shemana Tov points out that the Torah's introduction to the Parsha of Tshuva is very strange. The Pasuk segues in the Tshuva in the following way. The Pasuk says, when will you do Tshuva? When will you do Tshuva? V'hayaki yavo alecha called Rima Eila HaBracha Baklala. When all the aforementioned brachos and klolos come upon you, then Tshuva. V'ashevos al vavecha. So ask the Shemana Tov, ask Rav Weinberger. Tshuva from klolos, I understand. A person, lo aleinu, undergoes a tzara, a nisayon, a trying incident. He does a cheshbon nefesh, and hopefully he comes to a place where he realizes that he needs to do better. He needs to do Tshuva. Very logical. Happens all the time. But the Pasuk doesn't say, v'hayaki yavo alecha kol haklala ha'ele. It says habracha v'aklo, that brachos will lead you to tshuva as well. But how does that work, right? Typically, brachos don't lead to tshuva. Usually, it's the opposite. Usually, tshuva leads to brachos. So how do we understand this? So he says very simply that our pasuk is teaching the way things should be. And we all know this. This is common sense. I'm not saying any big chidushim here. You know, this is what Elul and Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Yemei HaTshuva should look like, right? We all know klolos make us look inward and arouse an urgency for tshuva, but brachos should arouse the same thing. The fact that we even ask this question that tshuva causes brachos, but brachos shouldn't arouse tshuva, that's a sad critique on the state of mankind, right? The saying goes, what's the saying? That there are no atheists in the foxhole, right? That under the umbrella of klola, everyone's frum. Everyone runs to tshuva. But says the Shemana Tov, the Torah is teaching us that no, bracha comes first. Ha bracha v'ha klola. Before klola inspiring us, bracha should inspire us. When times are good, then is the time to say, wow, Hashem has been so good to me. I have health. I have children. I have parnasa. I have a mind. I have a mouth to be able to learn Torah. I have the wherewithal to daven and do ishtalos to hopefully improve my life even better than it is today. I should really make sure that I'm earning this stuff. I should really make sure that I deserve this stuff. Now's the perfect time for tshuva. The perfect time for tshuva. Hayok yavo alecha called rima ela habracha. All these brachos in my life. How can I repay you, Hashem? What's the best way for me to show that you didn't make a mistake? How can I give Hashem plenty of incentive to keep it coming in the upcoming year? So the Torah tells us. You know how? Vashivo salvavecha tshuva. So that's idea number one, to keep in mind this Rosh Hashanah, to thank Hashem for what we have, to try to come to a place not of tshuva meyira and tshuva minisyonos and horrible things, but tshuva me'ava, tshuva me'bracha. And this is the key thing, if brachos bring us to tshuva, if good things inspire us to improve ourselves as they should l'chadchila, mitzvah Hashem, we should never have the need to experience any bidieved klolos to elicit the same response that we should have had in the first place. So that's for the last idea of Tavshin Ayin Tes. I'll end with a story. I don't tell many stories in this chabur. I've maybe told a handful in the whole year, but we'll end with a story. A very famous story, but one that bears repeating because we can learn a lot from it. Of all the Nosei Kalim in Shulchan Aruch, by far the most concise is the Magen Avram, Rav Avram Gumbiner. And the story goes, he was so poor that he didn't have much ink or paper. So in his parish, he basically gets to the point quickly because he didn't have any ink to write on, he didn't have paper to write on. So he basically has to go very, very quickly to Mutter Usser. He doesn't have time to be ma'arich on these things. So when in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, he decides to go very out of character and include a Maisa Shehoya. Even if it's just a few words, everyone takes notice. And the story goes like this. Pam achas lo hoyu yichol mitkoa. Once upon a time, one Rosh Hashanah, a certain Baal Tokeya was blowing and he couldn't get a sound. Couldn't get a sound. He tried this, he tried that. He hit the shofar like we all do. Nothing came out. He fell on his face. No avail. So what'd he do? V'hafach ha-shofar v'kar l'tocho v'inoam. The Baal Tokeya was obviously a very holy person, so he knew. He flipped the shofar around and he spoke into the wide open end of the shofar, the pasuk of v'inoam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu u'masi yadeinu konu aleinu u'masi yadeinu konu neyu. Right, the famous pasuk, the famous bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu that he gave to Klal Yisrael when he saw that they'd completed the Mishkan perfectly, exactly as Hashem told him to. And lo and behold, then he tried to blow again, and v'shuv yachul koa. Then a beautiful coal came out of the shofar. So what's the lesson? What's the powerful message that the Magen Avram felt compelled to use his little bit of ink and his little bit of paper to write us this story? There's no psak din here. There's no mutter us here. What's the point? So the Tolner Rebbe, I couldn't find the full source because his svarim are not all in print, but he alludes to this answer a little bit in Magen David, which is in print. So I put Magen David on the page, but it's not the full answer here. I heard this in the Shir. I don't have the full source, but I gave part of it here. He explains B'derech Remez that the kavon of the Magen Avram was as follows. Very often in our own lives, we've all experienced this, things just don't go the way we'd hoped, right? Whether it's parnasa, health, shidduchim, whatever it may be, sometimes the shofar just doesn't give us a sound. right? So our first inclination is to try different things. We wet our lips. We, you know, we bang a little bit on the shofar. You know, we do our ishtadlus. We try this endeavor. We try that endeavor. We try this person. We try that person. Ultimately, zilch. It doesn't, you know, not too much success. This happens sometimes. So this story comes to teach us it's not because we didn't do enough ishtadlus that certain aspects of life haven't gone as we'd hope. The story teaches us that don't blame the shofar. Don't blame the Baal Tokeya for not practicing enough before Rosh Hashanah. It's because we didn't rely on Hashem enough. We didn't rely on Hashem enough. So here the Baal Tokeya flips the shofar around, which symbolizes that we did what we need to do. So now let's daven into the wide part of the shofar, which the wide part is Hashem's domain. Hashem is Anani Bamerchav Ka. Hashem represents wideness and expansiveness. So what do we say? What do we say into the wide part, which represents Hashem? We say V'Noam, which is a pasuk that symbolizes a generation of brick schleppers and stone schleppers who somehow built every detail of the Mishkan and the Kalim and the Big Day Kahuna perfectly down to the last thread. How do you think they were able to do that? They didn't have seamstress classes in Goshen. Practice? Hishtadlus? No way. Only via Siyata Dishmaya. And when the Baal Tokeya recognized that, and in the story of the Magen Avraham, he voiced that bracha into the shofar, the need for Siyata Dishmaya, then a beautiful coal came out of the shofar. And so too with us. We need to remember this Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem, we try to do what we need to do, but ultimately it's about you. We desperately need the Siyata Dishmaya in our own lives. And when we make that leap that we need Siyata Dishmaya, it's not just about us, we'll be gezocha to a geshmak kol emanating from our own personal shofros. That's the pnimius of what Rosh Hashanah is. And that's why the Magen Avraham said, I have no money, but I'm going to spend a little bit of ink and paper on this because it doesn't get more fundamental than this. So Mir Hashem, we can embody this message and begin to learn and to lean a little bit more on Hashem from here on out. And finally, one last point to take away, to always remember, the ultimate, I heard this from my Rebbe Reb Lachman many years ago in Keren B'Yavneh, the ultimate Rosh Hashanah Eitzah, the famous Gemara in Bava Kamma, in Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, that we all know. The Gemara there asks the million-dollar question of Rosh Hashanah. How can we make sure our tefillos are answered with a yes? Or at least how can we improve the odds drastically of being answered in the affirmative? The Gemara says, very clear, very easy, Kol ha-mevakesh rachamim al chavero, whoever davens for someone else, while at the same time, he also needs that thing, and I'm sure he has 10 other things that he needs, but he still davens for someone else, despite the fact that he needs things. Who nena tchila? Those tfilos get to cut the line. So you need parnasa? I'm sure your neighbor could use some more parnasa too, so make sure you're davening for him. You need a shidduch? Make sure other people who need shidduchim are in your tfilos as well, right? Hashem has a very special place next to the Kisei HaKavod for genuine, heartfelt tefillos made on behalf of someone else. And that love, says the Gemara, ups the odds for even the mevakesh, the asker's own personal request to be answered in the affirmative. So, Mir Hashem, we take this advice, and it should be for us and our families this year, and really every year, bracha, v'atzlacha, simcha, nachas, health, shidduchim, parnasa, Yeshua, Hashem's brightness, Hashem's warmth, and of course, like the title of the Chabur, Chizuk, right, to always keep moving onward and upward. And with that, I wish everyone a good Shabbos, a Ksiva Chesima Tova, and a good Gevencht Yor.